Okay, we're convening here on the top of Daled Amud Aleph. The Gemara left off yesterday with the machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi as to how many dayanim you need in a case of monetary matters. We saw the braita that said, Tanur Banan dinim emanot tishlosha, Rabbi Omer bechamisha. Gemara distilled the machloket down to their understanding of the word Elohim that appears in the psukim. We have in the parsha of Shomer Chinam, says, Im lo yimatze aganav, v'nikra balabait el ha-elohim, im lo shlach edo b'mlechet re'yu, al kol dabar pesha, ashor ha-chamor al se ha-salma, kol ha-veda asher yomar ki uze ad ha-elohim, yavo dvar shnehem, asher yashiun elohim, yishalim shnaim le-re'yu. So over here we have a machloket between Rabbi and the Chachamim as to whether the word yarshiun influences elohim. We both agree that Ain Dorshim Tchilot, so the first Elohim is not counted here. And then you're left with, either according to the Chachamim, the word Elohim appears then twice, and you can't have a Beitin Shakul, so you add on an additional Dayan, you get three. According to Rabbi, the word Yarshiun is in plural. Since it's in plural, it influences the word Elohim that comes afterwards, and means that the word Elohim is also a plurality. Afterwards are two, and then that influences the definition of Elohim previously in the Pasuk. And so therefore you have Elohim here mean two, Elohim previously mean two, that's four. You can't have a Beit and Shakul, so you end up with five. On the other hand, the Chachamim note that the word Yarshiun, when it's written in the Torah, is written chaser. It's written with a kubutz, not with a shuruk. And therefore, it is pronounced, if you read it without the nikudot, as a singular word. And therefore the Yarshiun Elohim over here is not a reference to multiple Elohims, to be multiple dayanim, but rather Yarshiun is somebody who is the plurality, which is kavod, or a certain amount of respect that you give to an individual, but it's not implying that there should be more than one dayan. So the machloket revolved around the word Yarshiun, as to whether we focus on the way that you read it, which is plural, or the way that it's written, which is more singular in nature, and that influences the word Elohim afterwards. So now we begin at the top of Daled Amud Aleph. The Gemara then says about this statement of Rabbi, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi, V'Rabbi Yehuda ben Ro'etz, U'Beit Shammai, V'Rabbi Shimon, V'Rabbi Akiva. All these Tanaim, Kulus V'Ruhu, they all believe, Yesh Eim L'Mikra, that we give precedence or priority to the way that you pronounce the word. Now, in terms of Eim L'Mikra, that is as opposed to Eim L'Misoret, which we're going to see coming up in the Gemara, which is that there are words in the Torah where the Kri and the Ktiv is different. And the way that you read it is called Eim L'Mikra, the way that the word is read, the punctuation, and the way that if someone was reading the Torah, they'd read the word. Eim L'Misoret is the way that it's written in the Torah. So for example, the word here, Yarshiun, even though it's written without the Vav there, nevertheless, we know, or they have a Misorah, that the Mikra, the way to read it, is Yarshiun, and the Mesorot about how to write it is to write it without that Vav after the Ayin. And so that's a distinction that's being drawn here, that there are words in the Torah where the word has a Kri and a Ktiv, or not always it's a Kri and a Ktiv, but the way that the word is written, it's not obvious how to pronounce it, but we have Mesorot about how to pronounce the word. The truth is, it's the other way around. We know how to pronounce the words, and then we have a Mesorot about how to write it. Therefore, they are defined as Eim L'Mikra. Eim L'Mikra means we give priority to the way it's pronounced, versus Eim L'Misoret, which is give priority to the way that it is written in the Torah. And so there are words, both Kri and Ktiv, but other words where, again, they're missing, they're chaser, they're malay, that is influenced on the way you would have pronounced it if we didn't have a Misora about the proper way to pronounce the word. So that is a machloket about Eim L'Mikra, Eim L'Misoret, which we're about to dive into. As to the terminology, Eim L'Mikra, we do have an other terminology, we say it every morning in Rabbi Shmuel Omer, which is the Shlosh Yisrei Mitot, Asher Torah Nidreshet Behem, one of them is a Binyan Av. So how do you distinguish between a Binyan Av and something that's called Eim L'Mikra? The usage of the word Av versus the word usage of the word Eim, is there any significance to that? The Rif, in his beginning of his Tshuvot, and if you also look in the Encyclopedia Talmudit, he also brings from Halichot Olam a similar distinction, which is that when you use the terminology Av, Av is something that influences others. Just like the father or the male is the influencer or the one who is mashpia on other items, then a binyan Av is a principle in the Torah that is paradigmatic in nature and influences other halachot, And that's why it's called a binyanav. On the other hand, an aim is something that is local, internal. It is not mashpi on anything else. It has meaning for the word itself or for this location in particular. And so that's why the word av is used when we speak about a binyan av. Whereas over here, when we're speaking about aim lemikra and aim lemesoret, these are drashot or mesorot that influence that particular word and that particular halacha. And so therefore they are unique and local, and therefore you use the term aim, which is reference to the recipient, and aim is female, is the modest one, the one that does not, or is not mashpia, but is mushpa. And therefore the terminology aim is used over here. There are others like Margiliot Ayam and others that extend this to a broader context, and the Rabbeinu Bachaya and Sefer Dvarim does the same thing. It's explained that it has the difference between Torah Shepalpeh and Torah Shebichtav, and that the Binyan Av is a terminology that's used for Drashot in Torah Shebichtav, and that Torah Shebalpeh, the aim, or the female, is used to describe the Torah Shebalpeh, and that has ramifications or meanings in terms of Drashot about Av and aim, even though there are other places where others quote in the name of the Zohar just the opposite. But for our purposes, I think just the basic explanation of the difference between an av, which is paradigmatic, versus an aim, which is local, should suffice over here. So Gemara claims that these five Tanaim are of a similar position, that there is aim lemikra, that we give precedence to the way that we pronounce the word versus the way that the word is written. So the Gemara says here that there are five Tanaim that have that similar approach. Rabbi Hadamran. Rabbi, we already explained, because he darshins the word Yarshiun based on the way that you read it, which is plural versus the way that it is written. Rabbi Yehuda ben Roitz is from the following scenario, which is the Tanya. Shalu talmidim et Rabbi Yehuda ben Roitz, ekra ani shivim. I can read it as shivim. So therefore, yachote yulet nekiva tmeya shivim. Therefore, you would have thought that a yulet nekiva is tmeya for 70 days. What they're referencing to is the Sukim at the beginning of Parshat Tazria, which describe a woman who gives birth, the korbanot that she has to bring, as well as the tumah that she experiences. Over there it says, the Beryl ben Israel mori shaki tazria v'yalda zachar v'tama shivat yamim. She is tmeya for 7 days, ki medidat vota titma. And then you have yom hashmini mo basar lato, which is a brit milah, u'shloshim yom, u'shloshim yamim, teishev v'tmei tahara. And then she has 33 days of tahara. We're not going to go into all the details of this. We've spoken about it in the past. So it's a total of 40 days for the birth of a zachar, 7 which are tmeim, and then 33 of which are tehorim. Kol kodesh lo tigal, mikdash lo tovad, malot yimei tahara. And she's precluded from engaging in kodesh, as well as entering the mikdash, until she completes those 40 days, and then goes to the mikveh, and brings her korbanot. Ve'im nekeva teleid. If she gives birth to a nekeva, vitam'ah, and then over here it says she is tmeah. The way that we have it in our chumash is shvuayim, 2 weeks. But the way that the shvuayim is spelled is without a vav in it, and therefore the word that you can see here in the Gemara, if you didn't know better, would be pronounced as shiv'im. And that is what the Talmidim are asking Rabbi Yehuda ben Roitz, when it says, im nekeva teleid vitam'ah shiv'im, that she should be tmeah for 70 days, kinidata. And then she'll have 66 days of Yemei Tahara. So that was the question posed, because if you read the word without the Nikudot, again, the way that it's written, it would be pronounced as Shivim. So to that, the Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda ben Roitz, responds to them and says to them, Amalei, Timei v'tiher b'zachar, v'timei v'tiher b'nekeva. The Torah says that a Yoledet Zachar is Tmeya, and she is also Tehora. She is Tmeah for 7 days, Torah for 33 days. V'timei v'tiher b'nekeva. Also by the Nekeva, there is a similar structure. We know that she's Tmeah. We don't know for how long now, because we don't know what the word means. But we do know that she is Tahara for 66 days. And so now the thing says, it's simple math. Maka shetiher b'zachar b'nekeva kiflaim. So just like when the Zachar is Tahor for 33 days, we say the Nekeva, here it's spelled out, she is Torah for 66 days, v'shishim yom, v'shishim yamim, teshev al d'mei tahara. So we know that the mei tahara are double. So do b'nekeva, we would say the same thing, af shetimei b'zachar b'nekeva kiflaim. So do by the tum'ah, just like by the zachar, it's 7 days, by the Nekeva, we'd expect it to be double that amount, or 14 days. And therefore, the proper reading of the word is shvu'ayim and not shivim. Shvu'ayim, 2 weeks. After the Talmid already exited, he chased after them and wanted to bring them back. Amar lahem says, I forgot to tell you this, or I really should have told you this. You don't need what I just said. Shvu'ayim karinan v'yesh em lemikra. The way that the word is pronounced, the way that it's read in the Torah is shvu'ayim, and we follow em lemikra. We follow the way that the word is pronounced, not the way the word is written in the Torah. And therefore, again, here, just like Rabbi Yehuda ben Ruwait says that the kriya, the way that you read it, or em lemikra, governs, and therefore we would look at this word as being shvu'ayim and not being shivim, even though when it's spelt in the Torah, it looks like shivim. And as the Balei Tosafot point out, there could have been other proofs to show this. First of all, the fact that if you say that it's 70, then the Yemei Tumah of the Nekeva are greater than the days of Yemei Tahara, versus the male, where the Yemei Tumah are significantly smaller than the Yemei Tahara. So for all sorts of logical reasons, it makes sense to read it as Shvu'ayim and not as Shiv'im, including the Gemara in other places brings the fact that the word right afterwards is this. It compares that word to Nidata. If you say that it's Shiv'im, it has no relationship to Nida. Nida is 7 days. So the Zachar is Kimei Nidat Bota, is 7 days like a Nida. Now it's saying that the Nekeva has Shvu'ayim Kin Nidata. It adds on an additional 7 days like her Nida. So there are many reasons logically to explain the word as being Shvu'ayim and not Shivim. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Ruwait points out is that the way that you pronounce it is what governs over here, and therefore the proper reading of the Pasuk is Shvu'ayim, because that's the way that we read it, and not the Shivim, the Mesorot, that we have to write it in that way without the Vav in there. So that's the second Tano. The third Tano was Beit Shammai. Ditznan, we have a Mishnah. Beit Shammai Omrim, Kol Nitanim al Mizbeach HaChitzon, any blood, these are matanot of a korban that are placed on the outer Mizbeach, Shenitanan b'matana achat, if you did one sprinkling of them on the Mizbeach, kiper, you are successful at attaining the kapara. Ubechatat, when it comes to a korban chatat, shtei matanot. You need a minimum of 2 matanot in order to be yotzei. So what Beit Shammai is saying, and here Beit Hillel argues on him, agrees basically, which is Beit Hillel mim, af bechatat, shenitanan b'matana achat, kiper. Beit Hillel says it's consistent. All korbanot, that doesn't matter whether it's an olah, shlamim, and asham, which require matanot on the mizbeach, what's called shtayim shehein arba. They require that you sprinkle the blood or throw the blood on the corners of the mizbeach, 2 corners of the mizbeach, which turn out to be on 4 sides of the mizbeach. That's the proper way to put the blood on the mizbeach. If you just put 1 matana on the mizbeach, then that would suffice. That both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree to. When it comes to a chatat, the chatat has a different requirement, is that you place the dam on the kornot ha-mizbeach, on the corners of the mizbeach, on the 4 corners of the mizbeach. And that's what the Torah tells us. You go around the 4 corners and you put the dam on that. There, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai disagree as to what is the minimum amount you need to be at least yotze. The chatchila, of course, you're supposed to put on all 4 corners. But if you put on 1 corner, is that enough? Beit Hillel says yes. According to Beit Shammai, they say that that's not enough. You need a minimum of 2 corners in order for the chatat to be kasher. Now, within the words of Beit Shammai, it says, how do we know that if you give 1 matana, that you are successful? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'dam zvachecha yishafech. Because the Pasuk that tells us by the Korbanot, that if you pour the blood on the Mizbeach, that is sufficient. Which is, Vasito lotecha basar v'dam ha-mizbach ha-shem lokecha, v'dam zvachecha yishafech ha-mizbach ha-shem lokecha, basar tochel. So from the word yishafech, it makes it sound like if you simply pour the dam on there, if you get the dam on at all onto the mizbeach, that would suffice. The Marsha takes this out of the Girsa, not because it's incorrect, but because it's not found in the Mishnah. We quoted a Mishnah. This pasuk appears in a Braita in the opinion of Beit Shammai. So it happens to be correct that this is the reasoning behind Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel as to why 1 matana suffices by korbanot, or at least by other korbanot besides chatat. Is because of the pasuk with dam zvechecha yishafech. That teaches us that you only need a shficha. Any type of pouring or reaching of the dam to the mizbeach will be sufficient in order to render the korban a good korban. But what we're going to focus on now is the machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai with regards to a chatat, which lechatchila requires 4 matanot, 1 on each of the korbanot. But the bidiavad, Beit Hillel says 1 would suffice, like other korbanot. And Beit Shammai says you need at least a minimum of two. Where does that difference of opinion come from? From Avuna, my time of the Beit Shammai. What's the reason behind Beit Shammai's opinion? Karnot, karnot, karnot. The Gemara here is quoting from the psukim that are found by the Chataot in Parshat Vayikra. In Vayikra Perek Dalet, there are a series of Chataot that are mentioned there. There's the Chatat HaYachid, which is the one that we're most familiar with. The Chatat that is brought by an individual who violates an Isser in the Torah that involves a Chiyuv Karet Bishogeg. And that chatat can come either as a kibsa or as a sirat izim. And there the Torah lays out twice or two times the parshia describing the korban chatat of the yachid. In addition, there's also the korban chatat of the nasi, who is the leader, the king, who, if he sins, he has his own korban chatat, which is a sa'ir. And then we have two other korbanot that are mentioned there, which is the korban of the kohen mashiach, which is the kohen gadol, who has a problem and has to bring a korban chatat. And then there is the korban chatat for the am as a whole, which is otherwise known as the par helam dover shel tzibur, which is a korban brought by the Beit Din HaGadol. If they gave a mistaken psak and the majority of Bnei Israel followed that psak, that's the subject of the Masechet Toriot, par helam dover shel tzibur. So those are the chatot that are listed there. In the three chatot that are in Vayikra Perek Dalet, that is the chatat of the nasi, the two chataot hayachid, which is the chatat hayachid of Sirat Izim, and the chatat hayachid of the kivsa, over there it writes the word karnot. Karnot are the corners, and I'll read you the psukim. It says, V'lakach ha-kohen midam ha-chatat petzvo, v'natan al karnot ha-mizbeach ha-olah, v'tamo yishpoch ha-yusom mizbeach ha-olah. There, in that pasuk, by the chatat of the nasi, it writes the word karnot without a vav in it. It's written chaser. Similarly, in the next series by the chatat hayachid, it also says over there, "V'lakach ha-kohen midama be'etzvo v'natan al karnot mizbeach ha-olam v'tkol dama yishpoch al yisod ha-mizbeach." Once again there, the word karnot is written chaser without a vav in it. And then the final time, it's written by the korban chatat hayachid of the kivsa, where it says, "V'lakach ha-kohen midama chatat be'etzvo v'natan al karnot mizbeach ha-olam v'tkol dama yishpoch yisod ha-mizbeach." In those three instances, the word karnot is written chaser, without the vav in it. If you look in the psukim that came before, which is the korban chatat of the kohen gadol, and the korban chatat of the parhelm davar shel tzibur, over there, those korbanot are different because the dam there is placed on the mizbeach hapnimi. That will become relevant in the second half of today's daf, but there the matnot dam are placed on the parochet, facing the parochet, and also on the mizbeach azav, the mizbeach ketoret, which is inside the kodesh. So those are unique types of korbanot. The other chatot that we mentioned here are on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. But just to note that the korbanot that are mentioned by the Kohen Gadol and by the Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur, also over there the word karnot appear. By the Par Kohen Mashiach it writes karnot malay with letter vav in it. So now you know that the Torah knows how to write it with a vav in it. And that means there's significance to the fact when it writes it without a vav. And then we have by the Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur, there the word karnot is also written chaser. Now, what the Gemara does, it says that Beit Shammai's position is premised on the fact that the word karnot appears three times by the korbanot chataot of the yachid and the nasi. But if you read the word karnot, not the way that it's written in the Torah, which is without the vav in it, but the way that you pronounce it, which is karnot with a vav in it, harikan sheish, then you would come up with six corners, because each karnot is plural, so then you have karen karnot. So if you take three karnot, you have six karnot that are mentioned here. Arba le mitzvah, four of them are lechatchila, to teach you that you're supposed to put it on each one of the karnot amizbeach, so there's a minimum of four that you need to do the right thing here. Ushtayim, then you have two extra, to teach you la'akev, to teach you that it's a repetition, or going over the word again, which by kodashim, in order for something to be ma'akev, you either have to have a special language, which says zot chukat, or other languages that the Gemara gives that indicate that this is something that's ma'akev, or you have to repeat the requirement. The requirement is repeated twice, means the first time it's the mitzvah lechatchila, and the second time it is la'akev. And that's what Beit Shammai is saying over here. You have it written four times for the basic mitzvah, and then you have it two more times to tell you that twice it's ma'akev, and that's the sheet of Beit Shammai, which is that you need a minimum of two karnot in order for the korban to be okay, because of the fact that it has six times the word karen. Now that derives from the fact that Beit Shammai reads the word karnot the way that it is pronounced, aim le mikra, and not aim the Mesorah the way that it is written. And for that reason here, that's what the Gemara said before, that there are five Tanaim, Beit Shammai, the third of those five Tanaim, that holds of aim the Mesorah, or gives precedence to aim the Mesorah. Beit Hillel Omrim, Karnot, Karnot, Karnot. It has the word Karnot three times. Harikan, Arba. There are only four times here. Gimel, the Mitzvah. Three of them are telling you that is the Mitzvah, to tell you that you have to do it properly. Vechat, Le'akev. And one to be Me'akev. And one to tell you that one of those is Me'akev. Now, based on the Gemara here, if you look in the Rashi, what the Gemara is saying over here, we do not have in our Chumashim. Rashi explains over here that by Sir Nasi, it's written Karnot Chaser, by the Kivsat Yachid, it's written Karnot Male, and by the Chatat Yachid of the Seirat Izim, it's written Chaser. And that's what's being quoted here by Beit Hillel, that one time it's written Karnot Male, and twice it's written Chaser. If you add those up, Karnot would be two, and the two chaser would be one each. That would equal four. Problem is, and as I noted for you already, the word Karnot appears chaser in all of those instances in our Chumashim, and you can see that in the Mesorah Shas right next to the Rashi. It says, "B'chol haChumashim v'tikunim gam b'Mesorah Karnot chaser tiv." In all of our Chumashim, Tikunim and Mesorot, the word Karnot appear chaser in all of these instances. This will not be the last time on this daf where the Gemara quotes something that we do not have in our Chumashim. Here's one instance where the Gemara is quoting one of those Karnot as being Malay, even though in our Chumashim, they all Chaser. But given what the Gemara sees or has in their view of what's in the Chumash, they have four times for Beit Hillel that the word Karen appears. Gimel the Mitzvah, three of them are to tell you that there's a Mitzvah to put it on the Mizbeach. Vachat, and one extra one is Lakev. Ve'ema, Kulu the Mitzvah. Why should there be anything Lakev? Because it should all be used for a mitzvah. Just say that all four of them there to tell you that the chatchili have to put it on the mizbeach. And if you don't do it, everything's fine. It says, kapara bichti lo ashkechan. There's no such thing as a free lunch. There's no such thing as getting kapara without doing anything. The basic form of kapara, yudam nefesh chaper, that the dam going on the mizbeach is what generates the kapara. So of course you have to have at least one matana on the mizbeach to attain kapara. Otherwise, what's creating the kapara over here if you don't have dam that gets onto the Mizbeach? And for that reason, Beit Hillel says that you need a minimum of one to be Me'akev, because otherwise you're not going to end up with Kapara over here. And that's why Beit Hillel divided up into, say, three for a mitzvah and one Me'akev, instead of saying that all four of them are for a mitzvah, because the one matana is a given. It's assumed that you're going to have to put at least one matana on, and then you have three to tell you that there's an additional lechatchila, three matanot you should do. And then another Karen to teach you that first one that you know you have to do, that is La'akev. And that's why Beit Hillel says that one matana is Me'akev in this case. And obviously that logic that Beit Hillel uses over here, that at least one matana has to end up in his Mizbeach, Beit Shammai does not subscribe to. Because if that was the case, then Beit Shammai would have another extra word of Karen, and then they would have three La'akev instead of two La'akev, and so therefore they don't believe that that's the case. Or the Baal HaTosfot would offer another answer, which is the fact that Inam Kasavar came and Ika Shvichu Damim Liyisod. After you finish putting on the matanot of the korban, you pour the remaining blood onto the yisod of Mizbeach, and maybe that would suffice for the kapara, and therefore you don't have any basic matana that you can assume that is there. So Beit Shammai differs from Beit Hillel about that assumption that's here. What they would say is, had you not had the word Karen, you would have thought that just putting on the base was sufficient. Right now, in all of these instances, I mentioned this in the Baal HaTosfot yesterday, the Gemara here does not address the issue of Ein Dorshim Tchilot, which is that yesterday we assumed that there are times where you're not Doresh the word itself, because the first word is Legufei. It's to teach you about what the halacha is or the base halacha, and you only start the minyana afterwards. You see here in this drush of Karnot, nobody looks at the base word of Karen to teach you the basic din of Karen. Beit Hillel says it a little bit, but not really. And so why is it, and the Baal HaTosfot left this almost as a tzarech iyun yesterday, which is, why is it that the Gemara here ignores that completely and counts all these words, the minyana? It doesn't say that ein dorshim tchilot, there has to be at least one word that's left over in the beginning that you don't put towards the drasha. So there are rishonim that want to explain here, and it's similar to the way that Rashi discussed it yesterday's daf, which is that it depends on the word that is used. if the Torah uses a word that could have been replaced by another word, then in that instance, we don't have this idea of ain dorshim tchilot. So if the Torah could have used a different word than keren in this instance, then we wouldn't worry about the fact that you need one to teach you the din gufo. Because you could have done that by using a different word. For instance, here it's obvious that if you're putting matanot on the mizbeach, that they would go on the karnot on mizbeach. So either you could leave out the word keren completely, or you could just say that you put it saviv. Either way, you could have skipped the word keren. So the fact that the word keren is mentioned at all allows you to bring a drasha. And so that's how some of the Rishonim deal with the fact that the Gemara here is doresh the words straight through without giving one word to be the basic din that is applicable over here. And in each case, you have to ask, was there an alternative word that could be used? And therefore, we start the drasha from the first word right off the bat. Or there was no alternative word that could be used, and therefore we only start the drasha from the second word, which we'll see cases of that upcoming. So now we're up to the fourth Tana, which was Rabbi Shimon. Titania, Shtaim ki ilchatan, Ushlishit, Afilu tefach. Here we're speaking about a sukkah. With regards to a sukkah, Tana Kamar, the Chachamim say that you have to have two halachic walls, means two full walls on the sukkah, and the third wall can be comprised even of a tefach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalosh Ki Hilchatan, you need a minimum of three walls that are full walls, or Vi'it Afilu Tefach, and the fourth wall doesn't have to be a complete wall, but could be a wall that's only a Tefach. B'maika Miflegei, what is the machloket here between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim? Rabbanan Savrei Yesh Eim LeMisoret, the Chachamim believe that the way the word is written governs. Rabbi Shimon Savrei Yesh Eim LeMikra, he believes that the way that you read it is what governs over here. Rabbanan Savrei Yesh Eim LeMisoret, they believe that the way it is written governs. So if you look at the psukim by the halachot of Sukkot, it says, Basukkot teshvu shivat yamim, kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu b'sukkot. In both of those instances, the word Sukkot is written without a vav in it, chaser. The next pasuk, it says, Zaman yedu doretechem ki b'sukkot, hoshavti ebnei Yisrael, bo tziotam eretz mitzrayim, en yeshem lekechem. There the word Sukkot is written, malay. And that's what the chachamim say over here. Eim lemesoret, the way that it's written, says that the word bisukot, 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 harekan arba, that gives you four. Dal chad kra legufe, you have to take off one for the sukkah itself. This is what I was saying to you before. Here, all of a sudden, the chachamim dropped the word sukkah in the first limud, because you need to learn the word sukkah, you need to learn it for the gufa halach over here of schach or sukkah. So you see over here, they don't endorshim tchilot over here, and that might be because there's no alternative. What other word were you going to use over here? Pashalu tlat. They have three times the word sukkah appears after that. Atai hilchata garata lishlishit. Ukimta atefach. It diminished the third wall and brought it to a tefach. So the three they say means that there's a minimum standard of three walls for a sukkah. Because one sukkah is just to teach you the din of schach and the sukkah as a whole. The next three come to teach you the din and it requires a minimum of three walls for the sukkah. But then you have alocha lamoshe misinai, which is discussed in the Gemara in sukkah, which is mechitzot, or the walls of the sukkah, are halacha lemoshe misinai, and halacha lemoshe misinai says that you don't need a full wall for the last wall. But the last wall, according to them, is the third wall. You have a minimum of three walls, so two of them plus the third wall. That third wall, the halacha lemoshe misinai, comes and diminishes it down to a tefach. So that's the source, or the position of the chachamim. Rabbi Shimon Savar, he holds aim lemikra, the way that you read it governs. Therefore, besukot, 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 they're all pronounced as sukot in the plural form. Therefore you have Arikan Shesh. You have six times the word sukkah appears. Dalchad Kradu Gufe, similar to the Chachamim, he leaves one sukkah for the basic din. Pashlahu Arba. Therefore you have four left. Because if you drop one of the words here, each word contains within it two sukkot. So therefore, when you drop one of the words for sukkot in the basic din, you're left with two more words of sukkot, which are both plural when you read them, or the way that the Mikra is, and therefore you end up with four. So therefore that means that the minimum requirement of a sukkah is to have four walls. Ata hilchata, then halacha moshe misinai comes and garata l'revit ukmei atefach. And therefore the halacha moshe misinai comes and takes the fourth wall and reduces it from a full-fledged wall down to a tefach. Now I'll explain the difference in the opinions between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. The Chachamim believe that sukkot, because of Eim LeMisoret, only gives you three walls. And then the halacha moshe misinai takes that third wall and reduces it. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon believes that it's Eim LeMikra. If you read the psukim, you have four full walls that are needed. And the halacha moshe misinai takes that fourth wall and reduces it down to a tefach. So that explains the difference in their opinion. And once again here, you have another Tana, Rabbi Shimon, who believes the way that you read it governs. Rabbi Akiva. We also have Rabbi Akiva in that list. is the last of the five Tanaim. The Tanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Minayin Revi'at Dam Sheyatzah Mishnei Metim Shemetamei Ba'ohel. How do you know that if you have a Revi'at Dam, Revi'at Dam in general is Metamei Ba'ohel? Now question, or what Rabbi Akiva is proposing over here is that Revi'at Dam doesn't have to emerge or be sourced from a single mate. It could be that there are multiple Metim here, but if together their blood is pooled to the amount of a Revi'at, that would be Metamei Ba'ohel. So he says, how do I know that I'm right about this? Shenemar. Because the pasuk says, Al kol nafshot meit lo yavo. Which is Al kol nafshot meit lo yavo, laviv limo lo yitama. So that's referring to the Kohen Gadol, who may not become tamei, even for his relatives, even for his parents. And over there it says, Al kol nafshot meit. The word nafshot is in plural. So therefore, shtei nafshot vishir echad. Two nefashot can contribute to this single shi'ur that we're speaking of over here. Now the word nefesh, as Rashi points out, refers to dam, because we know throughout Sefer Vayikra that the Torah draws a parallel between the nefesh and the dam, as both by the korbanot, as well as by the eating or drinking of blood, that the Torah says that dam ikrei nefesh, that the dam and the nefesh are considered to be synonymous. So the word nefesh over here is referring to dam, and if it's referring to dam, which is the nefesh is tuluya ba, then it says nafshot in plural. That means the source for the dam can even be nafshot, two cadavers that can produce the blood of a revi'it. And you need a minimum revi'it, which is considered to be the nefesh or the life force of the individual. So that's the source, according to Rabbi Akiva, for the fact that two metim contribute toward that one shiur of revi'it. Rabbanan say, no, aim lamasoret, nafshot k'tiv. The word nafshot over there is written chaser. And therefore, we will not view it as a plural as two, but rather as one. That a nefesh, and therefore only a revi'at dam that comes from a single mate will be mitamei ba'ohel, not if it comes from two metim. So over here we had a list of five tanaim who all believe that aim lemikra, that the way that you read the word governs in a situation, and not aim lemisorot, and in many instances they're baal plukta, the ones that argue on them, disagree and say that aim lemisoret is what governs over here. The Baal HaTosafot here, as well as in many other places in Shas, say that the position of aim lemikra and aim lemisoret is only relevant when the two are mutually exclusive. That means that if you were to darshan the aim lemikra, it would not allow you to be doresh the aim lemisoret, or if you darshan the aim lemisoret, you would not be able to darshan the aim lemikra. So for instance, in our case over here, obviously you can't learn out nafshot to be plural and nafshot to be singular. It's one or the other. It's either plural or it's singular, and they're mutually exclusive. Same by Sukkot, when you're counting the walls. Either it's two walls or it's one wall, depending if you think it's plural or it's not plural. Those are mutually exclusive terms. So when these Tanaim have a position that says that Aim LeMikra governs, that's only in a case where you have an Aim LeMikra and Aim LeMisoret, then they're mutually exclusive. But if you could reconcile the two, and have both the drusha of the Aim LeMikra and Aim LeMisoret, and they're not mutually exclusive, then these Tanaim would agree that you doresh both Aim LeMikra and Aim LeMisoret. You can see that in the Baal HaTosafot. Aval Heicha Delo Machshu Hadadi, as long as they're not mutually exclusive or contradictory, Darshe Tarvayu, then they will be doresh both of them. And the Tosafot then goes on to give a plethora of examples of where that is true. And then, towards the end of the Tosafot, he starts to bring examples that undermine this position. He says, Mi'u kasha, v'od kasha, v'od kasha. He brings examples where it should have been that there is no mutual exclusivity or contradiction, and yet we still only are doresh, either aim lemikra or aim lemisoret. But he does lay out this principle, and it's a principle that appears in other types of drashot. Like, for instance, where we say that a tana is not doresh vav. So the Baal HaTosafot will say that that doesn't mean that they're not doresh vav in the whole Torah kula. Means in this particular case, they didn't feel it was appropriate. Or in this particular case, they didn't feel that the word was extraneous or the letter was extraneous. But it doesn't mean that that is their position through and through. And similarly over here, we say that they have aim the mikra. It means in these particular situations where there's mutual exclusivity to the two versions of how you can doresh it, then they favor aim the mikra. But that doesn't mean they never have aim the misoret, because we find that they do. These tanaim themselves, as Tosafot brings examples of, to have or are doresh aim the misoret. Right now, the Gemara says, "Mat kiflar of Acha bar Yaakov, mi ika deleitle eish aim lemikra." Is there anybody who doesn't hold of aim lemikra that we are governed by the way that you read the word? And they're going to bring an example of that because everybody has to hold of that. And that's going to undermine what we've explained until now, which is that all the Baal Pluktot over here seemingly argue because they think Aim the Mesoret and not Aim the Mikra. What we're going to show is that everybody needs to hold Aim the Mikra because of the problem of the following. V'hatanya, we have a Braita that says, Bichalev Imo, Pasuk that appears three times in the Torah, Lo Tevashel Gidi, Bichalev Imo. One may not cook the kid in the mother's milk. That's the way that it's pronounced. But if you look in the Pasuk before, first of all, in Perichav Gimel and Shmot, which is Pashat Mishpatim, it says, Lo Tizbach Chametz Dam Zimchi, V'lo Yalin Chelev Chagi Ad Boker. The word Chet Lamed Vet can be pronounced Chelev, which means fats, or it can be pronounced Chalav or Chalev, which is milk. So how do you know that Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo means milk, and doesn't mean Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo? So therefore, the Mara asks over here, V'atanya B'Chalev Imo, Yochol B'Chalev, maybe you would think it means the fats and not the chalev, the milk. Amart, yesh em lemikra. The answer to that question is the way you pronounce it governs. And as Rashi notes over here, velekem mandapalik. There's nobody who argues on that drasha over there. That means that everybody subscribes to em lemikra. Ella, and that's what the Gemara concludes now, the kuliyama yesh em lemikra. Everybody agrees that the way you pronounce the word is the governing way that we do the drasha. That doesn't mean we're not Doresh Aim the Mesoret, but where we have, again, a stira between them, we would favor Aim the Mikra. That means now we're going to have to go back to all the machlokot that we just saw and explain the Baal Pluktot that said Aim the Mesoret. We're going to have to explain them as saying Aim the Mikra, and then re-explain the machloket between them. That's what the Gemara is doing here. Rabbi v'Rabbonon. That's how we got started on this, was Rabbi and Rabbonon by the word Yoshiun Elohim. So over there, they supposedly, the Gemara suggested, they argued about the word Yoshiun. Whether you do Aim LaMikra, which means that Yershiun, it sounds like plural, or do you go Aim LaMisoret, the way it's written is with Chaser Vav, and that was the singular form according to the Chachamim. That's what we thought the Machloket is. But now if everybody believes Aim LaMikra, that means everybody's reading it as a Yershiun. So then what is the Machloket between them? Rabbi Rabbanan Bahakam Ivlege, Rabbi Savar Yershiun Elohim Achrine, that the Yershiun Elohim is a new statement below. Rabbanan Savar Yershiun, Daech Vahai. They both agree that the word Yershiun here is plural, but if you look at the Psukim, the word Elohim, as we noted before, appears right before that in the Pasuk, which is, Al-Kol Davar Pesha, Al-Shua, Al-Chamor, Al-Seh, Al-Salma, Al-Kol Avidah, Asher Yomar, Ki Huze Ad HaElohim, Yavo Davar Shnehem, Asher Yershiun Elohim, Yishalem Shtayim Nereyu. So that Yershiun is plural, because now we're saying everybody believes the name of the Mikra. What Rabbi says is that Yershiun is telling you a new two times Elohim. Double the word Elohim over here because it's in plural Yershiun. The Chachamim are saying, no, the word Yershiun here is in plural is because you just had the word Elohim before in the Pasuk, and now you have this Elohim in the Pasuk. So the Yershiun is referencing those two words of Elohim that are found in the Pasuk, and not a new introduction of another Elohim, another Dayan in the case. That's the nature of their machloket, which is everybody agrees Yershiun means two, it just means what are the two? According to Rabbi, the two mean two new Dayanim. That's the referencing to the word Elohim. Plus, the word Elohim before now is influenced by that, and that's another two Dayanim for four Dayanim. And then you can't have an even Beit Din, so you have five. And the Chachamim say, no, Yershiun Elohim means Yershiun Elohim because of the plural, because you already had one Dayan from the Elohim before. This Dayan, that's two. And then you add on one, because you can't have an even Beit Din, therefore you have three Dayanim. Rabbi Yehuda ben relates, Lo Plige, Rabbanan Alei. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Roetz, which is the second, but the case of the woman who gives birth to a female, that we use Shvu'ayim and not Shiv'im, over there was nobody argued on him. Everybody agreed it was Shvu'ayim and not Shiv'im, so there's nothing to discuss. Everybody believes Aim LaMikra there. Beit Hillel, what are we going to do with Beit Hillel, who seemingly subscribed to Aim LaMisoret with regards to the word Karnot? The Tanya, so they deal with it in the following manner. V'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. In each of those parshiot that we mentioned before, which is the Chatat of the Nasi, and the two Chataot al-Yachid, the Kivsa, and the Sirat Izim, they all end off with the following refrain, which is, V'chiper alav ha-Kohen mechatato v'nislach lo. V'chiper alav ha-Kohen v'nislach lo. V'chiper alav ha-Kohen al-Chatato v'shachata v'nislach lo. So the word V'chiper appears in those cases. Mipnei hadin. Because of the Kal v'chomer, or what you would have thought otherwise. Which is alo dinu. Isn't it a kal v'chomer, or isn't it a limud that we would have had? Nemer damim lamata, v'nemer damim lamalo. It says damim below, and it says damim above. Ma damim amim lamata, when it's speaking about the Damim below, over there we say that if you give one matanah on the Mizbeach, it's sufficient. So too, the blood that is put up top should be one matanah, should suffice. What the Gemara here is referencing to in this Braita is the fact that all korbanot have their blood sprinkled on the Mizbeach below the Chut HaSikra. The Chut HaSikra is the line at the halfway point in the Mizbeach. So in Olah, Shlamim, and Hasham, any korban that is brought on the Mizbeach its own, the blood is put on the lower half of the Mizbeach. The one exception to that is the Chatat. Chatat Be'ema has the four corners, has the blood placed in the four corners, above, obviously, the midpoint of the Mizbeach. There is an Olah to Oph, which also goes on top, but that's with an Oph and not a Be'ema. So now what the Gemara is saying is, well, as we noted before, Beit Shammai agrees, just like Beit Hillel says, that one matanah is sufficient by an Olah, Shlamim, and Hasham, any other korban, one matanah would suffice. What the Braita is suggesting now is that, well, just like the Mato, one matanah is enough, so to the Malo, on the top of the Mizbeach, one matanah should suffice. So that's one way to think about it. Oh, klach l'derech zo. Or maybe you want to think about it in this manner. Nemer damim b'chutz, v'nemer damim b'fnim. There are matanot on the Mizbeach, b'chutz on the Mizbeach chitzon, and there are matanot damim on the Mizbeach pnimi. Ma damim omerim b'fnim, chisei achat mi matanot lo asa v'lo klum. When it comes to the matanot b'fnim, which is what I mentioned before with regards to the par kohen gadol, the parlam dover shel tzibur, also the par and seir of Yom HaKippurim, where there's dam placed on the parochet, and there is dam placed on the Mizbeach HaZahav. In all those cases, if you miss one matanat adam, it's me'akev. That's because of the language that's used by those psukim that show or demand that everything be done exactly as laid out in the psukim, and therefore it requires an exact carrying out of the instructions, and if you fail on any one of them, it's me'akev. So now what we're saying is, well, you have chatot that go into the Kodesh, they're on the Mizbeach Zahav, and you have damim orim b'chutz, you have damim that go on the Mizbeach Kitzom, which is a chatat beima. So there too there, chiser achat mimatanot lo asa klom. You should also say that the chatot achitzonot are also me'akev. If you miss one matanah, it'd be problematic. Nearly me dome. Let us look at which one it's more similar to. Is it more similar to the other korbanot on the Mizbeach Kitzom? Or is it more similar to the chataot that are brought on Mizbeach Zav, Mizbeach Ketoret in the Kodesh? Where it says, Danim Chutz Michutz. We're going to be done the other korbanot, which are put on Mizbeach Kitzon, to the chatat Beima, which is also on Mizbeach Kitzon. So that's the common denominator between them. Vein Danim Chutz Mibifim. But I want to learn the chatat that goes on Mizbeach Kitzon from the chatat that goes on Mizbeach Zav. Oklach the Derech Zo. Or maybe you can look at it this way. Danim chataot v'dalad karnot. We can don the chatat plus the four corners, michataot v'arba karnot, from the korban that is also a chatat and goes on the four corners. The chatat of pnimi is a chatat, and also the dam, besides being sprinkled before the parochet and on the top of the mizbeach, is also sprinkled on the four corners of the mizbeach zahav. The chatat beima achitzona is put on the mizbeach achitzona on the four corners. So that's the common denominator between them. They're both called chatot. And they both require four karnot. Karnot. And the other korbanot shouldn't prove anything to you because they don't have a shame chatat and they're not put on the four karnot. So I don't know which way to go. You could learn it either way, meaning that there's a logic to say it should follow the chatot apnimiot. There's a logic to say that it should follow the other korbanot, the olah, the asham, and the shlamim. So what do I say? Tamalomar, v'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper mipnei adin. That the word chiper appears three times because of this uncertainty or this possible halacha that you would have learned. So each one teaches you the following. Kiper, you are successful in attaining kapara, even though you only put three matanot on the mizbeach. Kiper, you are successful in attaining kapara, even though you put two matanot on the mizbeach. Kiper, you are successful in attaining kapara, even though there's one matanah on the mizbeach. And that will be the limud of Beit Hillel, not from Eim the Misoret, but they agree about Eim LeMikra, but they just say the word v'chiper that appears three times in these korbanot that are associated with the word karnot, that v'chiper, which is in singular, each one of those v'chipers will reduce the necessity for one of those matanot, the four matanot, that is the chatchila, each chiper will reduce one of them and say you get kapara even without it, And so therefore, if I take away three, I am remaining with one that is ma'akev, and that's the shita of Beit Hillel. Now, with regards to the machloket Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, by the Sukkah, if you believe yesh em lemisoret, then you would have the word Sukkot appear three times, malay, and that would mean six walls. And that's what Rabbi Shimon said, you drop one of the Sukkot for the core din of Schach, and then you have two left over, which is four. So then what are the Rabbonim going to do in that case? If they believe yesh em lemikra, they also have the same thing, which is they have six walls there. So now, this is the machloket. Rabbi Shimon Sabar Sachacha lo ba'ikra. The fact that it is schach, you don't need a pasuk for. I mean, that the first sukkah or sukkot is used to teach you about the din or the core sukkah, and then the other two, you teach you about the four walls. But what we don't need is an extra word sukkah to teach you about the fact that the schach, whether it's the dinim of the schach, or the fact that a sukkah is only called a sukkah, if it has schach on it, then he doesn't need a pasuk for. Rabbanan Zavri Sakha Baikra. And then the Rabbanan believe that the Sukkah requires a puzzle, which means that you need one of the Sukkot to teach you the core din of Sukkah, then you need one puzzle to teach you about the din of Sukkah, and then you're left over with one Sukkah, which actually presents a big problem that the Rishonim deal with, which is that if you eliminate two of the words Sukkot, you've eliminated four walls. That means the Chachamim are left with one word Sukkot, which is two walls, and then if I have a Lokal Moshe Misinai, it would turn out that you only need one full wall, and one wall, that's a Tefach, and obviously that's not the case. So the Rishonim have to deal with this in different ways as to explain why when the Chachamim say that they need one of the words Sukkot to work with the word Schach or to explain that you need Schach, it only eliminates one time the word Sukkah and not the whole word Sukkot. And that might have to do with the connection between the Schach and the walls, whether that's a halachic connection or whether that's a symbolic connection, that there is still three Sukkot available to have the three walls for the Chachamim. And you can see in the Ran and the Maharam and the Aruch Lener, they all try to address this issue or try to figure out how the Chachamim come up with that last wall for the Sukkah. If you use one of the words of Sukkot for Schach, how does that leave you still an extra word of Sukkah for the three walls that is needed for the Drush of the Chachamim? What's interesting about this is the fact that Rabbi Shimon's position in some ways makes a lot of sense, which is that the definition of a sukkah is something that has schach on it. The Torah never gives any proper definition as to what a sukkah is. It's almost as if the Torah thinks or knows that you know what a sukkah is. It doesn't need to explain to you what a sukkah is. But why does it need to explain to a sukkah? It's not self-evident. We wouldn't have known what a sukkah is. That is because the sukkah was in active use. The sukkah was the huts that the harvesters used to live in when they harvest. And we have that in the Gemara and Sukkah describes such Sukkot, which is that when they went out into the fields to work and to harvest, they had Sukkot that were there. Those Sukkot that are there, the Torah assumes you know what that Sukkah is. And the Torah is telling you, you take that Sukkah that is a part of the harvest, and now we're going to make a festival at the end of the harvest that involves that Sukkah. And the reason being is because that Sukkah represents your work and your effort in the harvest. And we want to take away from Kochi Beotzim Yadiyah Salih Techayel Zeh and attribute it to Hashem. So you're going to take that Sukkah that you used to harvest with, and now you're going to make it into a place that you live under the Shemayim, under the auspices of God, and show and demonstrate the fact that this all came from God, not from you. So Rabbi Shimon's opinion is interesting from that nature, because he thinks the word Sukkah embedded in Sukkah, or in the meaning of Sukkah, is Schach. Now then the Chachamim still think that you need a definition of Schach, whether that means it's because you need to know the halachot of Schach, or does that mean that it's not self-evident from the word sukkah that it requires schach? Again, which is difficult because it's built into the word itself. Sukkah, schach, that is the definition of the word sukkah. So in some senses, Rabbi Shimon's opinion here is a little more intuitive. Now, fifth machloket that we brought down, which was Rabbi Kiva Rabbonon, about whether you can have Revi Adam come two meitim or only one meit. Baha Plige, this is their machloket. Rabbi Kiva Sarai Nafshot, Tarti Mashma, Nafshot in, pronounced in plural, and therefore you can have two corpses or cadavers that contribute to the revi'at dam and have it be mitamei boil. Rabbanan Zavei Nafshot Da'alma Ashma. They agree that the word Nafshot is plural, but it's not plural in the sense that you can have two contributing to the dam, but it's talking about Nafshot in general. It means corpses in general, or people who pass away in general. If there's a revi'at dam that emanates from them, it'll be mitamei boil. But not Nafshot to say that in this particular case there are two Nafshot. Just means Nafshot in general, that is the case. Now the Gemara says, Udukuli Ama Yesh Eim LeMikra. So now you're telling me that definitively everybody believes in Eim LeMikra. And everybody's going to be darshan the way the word is pronounced. V'ahatanya, we have a problem, which is we have a braita We have a problem for two reasons. One is that we have a brayta now. It's going to show us that not everybody holds the Vayim the Mikra. We have a bigger problem is that the brayta is going to break down words that we don't have in the Torah, which is Vatanya, Letotafot, Letotafot, Letotafot. That is dealing with tefillin. The word Totafot appears in three out of the four parshiot ha-tefillin. In the other case, it's called Zikaron Beinecha. And so therefore, there's only three times the word Totafot appears. The way that we have it in this brayta, it's written Chaser twice and Malay once, Harikan Arba. And therefore, they come to a numeration of four Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. That's the position of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Enu Tzarich. You don't need this because Tot or Tat Bekatfe Shtayim. In the language of Katfe, Tot means two. Pat Ba'Afriki, Pat in African means two. Harikan Arba, and then you have four if you put that language together. I mean that inherently the word Totafot means four, and that's what teaches you that you have four boxes in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, as opposed to the Tefillin Shel Yad, which is one box. The Tefillin Shel Rosh is comprised of four separate sections or four boxes that are put together. How do we know that about those four? Rabbi Akiva says it's from the language. It's interesting, and the Baal HaTosafot already take up the issue. Well, if that's the case, if the word Totafot appears more than one time, then why don't you say that you have now four or eight? You have a lot more than of the numeration of boxes that you would need. The Talmud says either you have to say that there are only four parshiot that fill in, so you're limited to four boxes, you wouldn't go beyond that. Or the other possibility, they learn four batim from each one of these languages. In Katfi, the word tot appears twice in the Torah, so that's four. Or for the word pat, in Afriki appears twice, and that gives you four. This is interesting, I'm not going to delve into too much, but the fact that they're using foreign languages to darshan the word in the Torah, it's not the only time the Gemara does it. It appears in numerous places in the Gemara that they darshan a lot of times from the Greek association with the words. We saw that in Baba Batra, and it appears all over Shas like that. But it's interesting that they're willing to use a foreign language in order to decipher what the word means in the Torah. The word Totafot is not self-evident. It's not clear what the word means. And here they're using these foreign languages to decipher or figure out the word. Whether that's just simply an aid, and it's not really the definition, but it's just telling you, look, you know, in these languages it means, and therefore the word Totafot means this, not because that's the case in these other languages, but that's the Masorah that we have. But these other languages will help you to remember that that's the meaning of the word over here. The only interesting note I'll make about this foreign language issue, which is that when it comes to the Tefillin Shel Rosh, it's interesting that instead of saying that there are four boxes, the way that the drush of Rabbi Akiva works is that there's two boxes plus two boxes. And that's interesting from a number of perspectives. First of all, the parshiot of tefillin were given in two separate circumstances or at two different times. You have two of the parshiot of the tefillin, which is Vayakha Viyakha and Kadesh Lin Kol Bechor, which are found at the end of Parshat Bo. And then you have the parshiot of Shema Vayayim Shema, which are found in Sefer Dvarim. So, in essence, the tefillin are comprised of two and two. And that might be what's being hinted at over here by Rabbi Akiva's drasha of saying that it's two in this language and two in this language, which is it's not really four, but two plus two, because the two parshiot come from Shemot and the two parshiot come from Dvarim. And we don't have sufficient time to deal with that here, but it's interesting to compare and contrast the parshiot in Dvarim versus those in Bo, and the differences that arise, and what you can learn out from those differences. In addition, if you look in the Gemara Menachot, when it describes how to place the parshiot in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, over there the Gemara describes it also in bundles of two, which leads to the machlok between the Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, as to the order of the parshiot in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, because the Gemara does not express it as being one through four and giving the order of the parshiot, rather explains it as being two and two, to give you, it's a similar, again, there you see this concept of two and two, not four batim, and that might be what is being hinted at over here by Rabbi Akiva. But what we're really focused on is Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says that the words tofot, we don't go by the way they're pronounced, we go by the way that they're written in the Torah. Two of them chaserim, one is malay, and therefore you have four, and that's how you get the four boxes of Tefillin Shel Rosh. So that's the Gemara's question. The big problem is that our Torah don't have that in it. And even though Rashi over here quotes that his Chumash has that language or explains it that way, look in the Torah, all of them are written chaser. That means both in Vayakha Viyakha, in Shmot, it says Uletotafot. In Dvarim, it says Mshartam Leota Yadecha, in Shma, Vayuletotafot. Again there, it's chaser. And then again in Vayayim Shmot, it says Vayuletotafot. So in none of these cases is there a vav between the pei and the tuf. There's never a vav in any of these. They're all written in chaser. In two of the instances, there's a vav between the two tets. In the first two tets, there's a vav between them. In one case, there's no vav there either. So it's not clear what the Gemara got this explanation from or where these words appeared in the Gemara, because we don't have them in our Chumash. And that leads the Rabbeinu Tam to try to come up with an alternative way to explain what's going on over here. So one way that they explain it is Gorin V'Dorshin. The one time that appears in Vayakev Yach, it says Ule Totafot. They take the vav from the beginning of the word and they insert it later on to make it into a Malay. So that's one way that some of the Rishonim deal with it. The Balei Tosafot are reluctant to say that, because in general when we say Gorin and Mosifin, we don't add letters in the middle of a word. We add the letters to the end of the word or the beginning of the word. We don't just insert a letter all of a sudden in the middle of the word. Although he does bring examples where that does happen, or one example at least, that it happens. And he brings a machloka from the Yishalmi as to whether you can insert letters in the beginning or in the middle of a word. Then he brings from the Rabbeinu Tam, Varesh Rabbeinu Tam, the Vav Ulit Totofot Dorish. The Vav that they're being Dorish here is not the Vav inside of the Totofot, but the Vav that comes before, which I mentioned to you before. In Shema, in Vayim Shemo, it says, Litotafot. In Vayakav Yachad, it says, Ooh, Litotafot. That Vav in the beginning is the extraneous Vav that they're being Doresh over here. And that's what's driving the Drusha of Rabbi Yishmael. V'halchi Garsinan, Litotafot, Litotafot, Ooh, Litotafot. Harikan Dalit, because that Vav extra in the beginning. V'avagav, de Rabbi Yishmael, lo Doresh Vav. Even though Rabbi Yishmael generally doesn't Doresh a Vav. Vav velamid dorish. Over there where you have a vav and a lamid, there he will be dorish. So since there are two letters here, vav and lamid, in the beginning of the Totafot, those together are sufficient to create the extra, or the vav that we need over here. Just interesting to note, again, this is the second time on this daf, we have the Gemara claiming that a word is spelled a certain way in the Torah, and we don't find that in our Torah. In general, we do not conform our Torot to that which is found in the Gemara, but we follow the Misora that we have from other sources as to how to write the Sifrei Torah. We're not influenced by what the Gemara says over here. And for that reason, till today, these differences still exist. That our Torot don't have what the Gemara is saying here, both by Totafot, as well as by Karnot. So the Gemara then says in the end, Elol Olam Plige. In the end, there are arguments. Not everybody agrees, Ein L'Mikra. There are dissenting opinions, like we just saw from Rabbi Yishmael, that they do subscribe to Ein L'Misoret and not Ein L'Mikra. V'hani milei ki plige heched d'shani kra mi misoret. Where do they argue? They argue in an instance where the misoret is differentiated from the pronunciation, which means the way that Rashi explains it over here is that be'otiot ha'kriya yeterot ala misoret. It's when the word that you read would have to have more letters in it than what is written in the Torah. Similar to the case of Yarshiun, where it should have had a vav in there, and it doesn't have a vav. So we pronounce it in a way that would indicate there should be a vav, yet it's spelled without a vav. So that's the case of Ishani Krab in Misoret, that the reading is different than the Misoret. The truth is it could be the other way around, which is you could have excessive letters, and then if you read it a different way, you could also have that difference. But the more like cases where you have chaser, you have missing letters, and yet you still pronounce it or you read it in a certain manner. In that instance, then there's a machloket as to whether Ein L'Mikra governs or Ein L'Misoret governs. Avahai, chalav, v'chelev, dichadodininu. When it comes to chalav and chelev, there's no difference between the pronunciation and the spelling in the Torah. Even if you were to pronounce it as chelev, you wouldn't change the word. It'd still be chet lamed vet. And if you were to say chalav or chalev, it would also be chet lamed vet. In that case, there's no distinction between the way that you read it and the way that the Misorah is, the word would be the exact same word and spelled the exact same way. In that case, Yesh Eim L'Mikra. Everybody agrees that Eim L'Mikra governs, and therefore it is Lotavashil Gedi, Bichalevimo, and not Bichalevimo because of the fact that the Eim L'Mikra governs in that situation. So the Gemara says, is that really true? But don't we have in Chagigah the requirement to be Ola L'Regel and to appear before Hashem? Over there, the Psukim say, Shlosh pa'amim b'shana yira'eh kol zirchurcha el p'nei ha'adon Hashem. So over there it says, three times a year, yira'eh, should appear, kol zirchurcha, all your males, el p'nei ha'adon Hashem, before God. So the word over there, yira'eh, is spelled yud resh aleph hey, which if you didn't have nikudot, if you didn't know how to pronounce it, you would pronounce it as yira'eh. I mean, yira'eh kol zirchurcha el p'nei ha'adon Hashem, which means that all your males will see the face of Hashem and will see the presence of Hashem, versus Yera'eh, which means that they will appear before the face of Hashem. So here you have a word which is spelled identically. Whether you pronounce it as Yera'eh or Yir'eh, you would spell it the exact same way. And yet, by this case of Arei, Yir'eh, Yera'eh, Dichi HaDodininu, that they're identical in terms of their spelling length and their pronunciation length, they would put the word the same way. Upligi, and we have a machloket about the drosha there. Titania, we have a brighta, Yochanan, and Avayomer, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, Hasuma Bechad Me'enav. A person who is blind in one eye, patur minariya, he is not required to bring up his olot riyot, which is the requirement to come and appear before Hashem during the Shlosh Regalim, and not to appear empty-handed, but rather you have to come with something in hand, which is Shlosh Pe'amim B'Shana Yira'eh Kol Zuchuchad Pnei Hashem Elokecha, B'Makom Hashem B'Chayr B'Chag HaMatzot, U'B'Chag HaShavuot, U'B'Chag HaSukot, V'Lo Yira'eh Pnei Hashem Reikam. So there's a requirement to appear before Hashem, bringing a gift in hand, bringing olat riyah. What Yochanan ben Davai is saying in the name of Yehuda ben Tema is, if a person is blind in one eye, he does not have an obligation to appear before Hashem or to bring up olat riyot. Shneamar. And we're going to see in a second that he's doreish the word, not only by the way it's read, which is yira'eh, but also the way that it's written, which is yir'eh. So you see over here, even though like by chelev and chalav, the word is spelled the same, and then you told us in that instance you would always favor Aim Lemikra. We don't see that over here. Here you have the word Yir'eh and Yera'eh, and if the Kriya is Yera'eh, we should favor that understanding. Yet, we're about to see in a second, there's a drusha that includes both Yir'eh and Yera'eh. So your statement that everybody holds of Aim Lemikra in those instances just isn't true. And here is the drusha, which is Yir'eh, Yera'eh, K'derech Shibalir Ot, just like the way he comes to see, kach ba leiraot, so too he comes to be seen. Malirot b'shteinav, just like he is sees with his two eyes, af leiraot b'shteinav, so too he appears with his two eyes. Again, the statement here is somewhat cryptic, and it leads to a machloket amongst the Rishonim as to how to explain the drusha over here. The drusha is clearer in the Gemara in Chagiga, as well as the Rishonim in Chagiga. So we're going to use that as the basis for explanation. Rashi in Chagiga says the following: Yir'eh k'tiv v'kairinan yira'eh. Therefore, Yir'eh kol zuchuchad b'nei adom. All your males come to see God. D'mashma shadamru et hashkina, that they're coming to see God. Yira'eh kol zuchuchad b'nei adom. Mashma Shadon Balir Otcha, that the Adon is coming to see you. Hekisha Katuv Riyatcha Liriyato. The pasuk connects your seeing to the seeing of God. Kederech Shibalir Otcha, just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to see you, Kachu Balir Ot Mimcha, so too he comes to be seen by you. Malir Otcha B'Shteinav, just like when God comes to see you, he sees you with his two eyes. Obviously, this is Derech Melitza. And Rashi over here, actually, in the Gemara here in Sanhedrin, quotes, Shenemar, Enei Hashem Lokecha Ba Merishita Shana Ad Acharit Shana, that the Pasuk in Dvarim indicates that Hashem's eyes are peering or seeing. And so therefore, in that figurative sense, when Hashem comes to see you, when you come out to Yerushalayim, Kachu Ba Lirot Mimcha, so do he appears to be seen by you. Mali wrote Chavishteinav, just like he sees you with his two eyes, Kiviyachol Hashem, Afkan leiraot min adam b'shteinav shel adam. So too he appears before man, for man to see him with man's two eyes. So the way Rashi learns it is that the meaning of the pasuk of Yira'eh means you appear. You appear means that you are appearing for someone else to see you. That someone else to see you is a Kodesh Baruch Hu who is going to see you. So therefore the meaning of Yira'eh is that Hashem will see you. And the meaning of Yira'eh is that you will see Hashem. And then Rashi says, just like Hashem comes to see you, so too you, he wants to be seen by those that come up to the regel. So that's the way Rashi learns. The Balei Tosfot, both here, the Rabbeinu Tam, as well as in Chagiga, criticize Rashi's explanation for a number of reasons. One of which is that it says over there that a Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to see you, so too he wants to be seen by others. Well, first of all, where does Hashem come from? Hashem's presence is always there in the Mikdash. The one who's coming is the individual's Ola Lerego comes to see Hashem. It's not that Hashem goes to see him. So that's the first flaw that the Balei Tosfot, the Rabbeinu Tam, find in the explanation of Rashi, which seems to indicate that the way that you're going to read the Gemara is that Haba, the one coming now, is a Kadosh Baruch Hu and not the individual's Ola Lerego. That's number one. Number two is, the Rabbeinu Tam says, that if that was the case, the way that Rashi says it, then you should have been Doresh, the Mikra, before the Misoret. It should be Doresh, the Yera'eh, before the Yera'eh. According to Rashi's explanation, we're Doresh, the Yera'eh, before the Yera'eh. And that's how I read it in the Gemara, Yera'eh, Yera'eh. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam, Akorchach, Garis Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam comes up with an alternate Gersa in the Gemara. The Bach and Chagiga gives you two options as to what that alternate is. Either it's Yera'eh, Yera'eh, or the alternative is Yera'eh, Yera'eh, the opposite of the way that we read it before, which is the following. Yera'eh, Yera'eh, Ma le'ra'ot b'shtei einav. To be appear with his two eyes. Shadam ba, lehit ra'ot lefnei ha'makom. When a person, ba, you see now the ba refers to the person, not Hashem. When the person's Ola L'Regel and appears in Yerushalayim, that is Yera'eh, to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you come up to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you to be a whole with his two eyes, b'shtei einav shel makom. Af haba mabal lir'ot ha'makom, so too when the man comes to see the makom, b'shtei einav, he comes to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his two eyes. And that's Yera'eh, Yera'eh. And that's how the Rabbeinu Tam deals with the questions he has on Rashi, as well as the explanation he gives for this drasha over here. You should know that the Rambam in Hilchot Chagiga in Perek Bet Halacha Aleph has a similar drasha to that of the Rabbeinu Tam, but he learns it from a different pasuk, which is very surprising, which is in Devarim in Perek Lamed Aleph, it says, with regards to Hakel, Bevo Kol Yisrael Leiraot et Pnei Hashem Elokecha b'makom asher yivchar. And the Rambam there in the Halacha says, V'nemar, Bevo Kol Yisrael Leiraot, which is that pasuk by Hakel, Kashem Shem Baim Leharot Lifnei Hashem, just like they are coming to appear before Hashem, Kachem Baim Lirot Hadar Kodesho Ubeit Shechinato. So too, they are coming to see the grandness and the beauty and the glory of the Kedusha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Beit Shechinato in his place of rest, meaning that Beit HaMikdash. Again, here the Rambam avoids speaking about God in an anthropomorphic manner to say the Ashtei Enav, but says that rather you're coming up to see Hashem's dwelling place and the Kedusha that is associated with Hashem. But he says similar same thing to the Rabbeinu Tam. That just like you come up to be seen by Hashem, so too you come to see Hashem. So it's similar to the formulation of the Rabbeinu Tam, just he brings it from a different pasuk. He brings it a pasuk in Hakel, which is very interesting. And you can see in a similar vein here, the Rabbeinu Hananel says, Ma le'ra'ot b'shtei einayim, just like you appear to be seen with two eyes, Afnirot b'shteinayim, so do you come to see with two eyes, which is similar to the way that the Rabbeinu Tam explains it. In the Gemara in Chagiga, the Rabbeinu Gershom over there offers another three explanations. We'll skip the first and speak about the latter two, which are very interesting. Some say it has nothing to do with the psukim that we've been quoting until now, which come from Aliyah the Regel about Yirei Kol Zrucha, but rather from the pasuk by the Akedah. It says, Vayikra Avram Shema Makom Ahu Hashem Yir'eh Asher Ye'amer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yir'eh. Those that come up to the Mikdash, Koma Yir'eh Ta Makom Et Bayim Sham, Hashem will see the place and those that are coming there, Ve'yir'eh the Bayim Sham, and he will appear to those that are coming there. It's similar to Rashi to what we're seeing over here, which is that Avram's calling of Har Moriah Hashem Yir'eh and Hashem Yir'eh, which is that there is a dual aspect to the approaching or coming up to Har Moriah, which is that you will be seen by Hashem, but you also have the opportunity for Hashem to appear to you, or that you will see Hashem. That is the third explanation of Rabbeinu Gershom, which other Rishonim bring down with a different, slightly different nuance, which is that Kashem Shabbat Le'ra'ot Ba'Cherim, just like Hashem comes to appear to others, to the Kohanim, the Am, that are found there in the Mikdash, who all have Shtei Einayim, because Kohanim who serve in the Mikdash can only be serving the Mikdash if they don't have a moment if they have two eyes, which is similar to what the Rabbeinu Gershom says over here with regards to the Kohen seeing Nigaim. Kach ba lir'ot b'shtei einav. So too, the individual who comes up is lir'ot b'shtei einayim, comes to see all that's going on are to see Hashem b'shteinayim with his two eyes. So that's another version of this, which might be akin to what's found in the Reino Hananel, which is Malei Reot b'shteinayim, af lirot b'shteinayim, which is a little more generic and might fit into that explanation that we just brought that is similar to what the Rabbeinu Gershom says in his third explanation in the Gemara in Chagiga. So therefore, we have to reject this idea that in the case where there's no difference between the spelling of the word for Mikra and Mesoret, that everybody agrees to aim the Mikra. So Ella, Amar Avacha Breder Avika, Amar Kra. How do we know then by Lot Vashil Gediba Chalev Imo? Why does everybody agree that it's Chalev and not Chalev? If we do see that over here, Yochanan ben Davai, in the name of Yudim ben Betema, is a dissenting opinion who says even when the words are the same, we still have aim the Mesoret and not necessarily aim the Mikra decisively. Then also over here, by Lot Vashel Gediba Chalev Imo, at least you should read it as both Chalev and Chalev, milk and the fats of the animal. So why over there does everybody agree and there's nobody argues about the fact that we go in the Mikra and say that's Chalev? Because the answer is, Derech Bishul Asrat Torah. It's only through cooking that the Torah says it's Asur. Milk and meat are only Asur because of Lotiv Ashel Gedib Chalev Imo. If there is cooking, the cooking of meat and milk together is what is restricted. And as Rashi points out over here, you can only cook in a liquid. Chalav can produce Bishul because you can boil the Gedib, the kid, in the mother's milk. When it comes to Chalev, Chalev is not something that is boiled or bishul, but rather it is tigun. It's frying. It's fats that fry whatever's put in it. So that wouldn't be the wrong word to use. Bishul would not be the word to use if we were speaking about a gedi b'chalev imo, rather than a gedi b'chalev imo in the milk of his mother. And therefore bishul is only relevant by a liquid, which is chalev or chalav, and not by a solid or something that will become oil and fat, which is something that you are frying with or basting with, and therefore it doesn't fit into the Lashon HaPasuk of Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo. That's the way Rashi explains it. The Balad B'Tosavot bring an alternate explanation, which they reject, as well as the Gilin HaShas, who Bikiv Eger also asked a question on it, where he says it's not so straightforward, but you can actually see it in their Beinu Hananel, which is, Lafukei Chelev, Tafilu B'lo Bishul Asur. Their explanation was that Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo is that milk, besides from being mixed together with meat, inherently or by itself is kasher. That is, milk by itself is kasher. The meat by itself is kasher. It's only when you mix them together or you mevashel them together that they become asurim. As opposed to chalev, which is already asur, irrespective of the bishul that happens over here. It's asur because it's chalev, even if it's not mevushal. And if the Torah says the restriction is because of Lo Tevashel, bishul at generating the isur is only relevant by chalav, which is otherwise mutar, which is chalav, which is otherwise asur. Why do you need bishul to make it asur? So the Rekiv Eger rejects that explanation, or has a tzarchia on the explanation, because it says there is chalav that is kasher, or there is chalav that's good, and therefore it's not definitive or decisive that chalav is always asur. It doesn't become asur through bishul. And the Bali Tosafot bring examples from Chulin, which would seem to indicate that that's not the case. But despite the questions of the Bali HaTosafot, there are many Rishonim, including, you can see here, the Reino Hananel, that subscribe to that explanation that Chalav is only Asur through the process of Bishul, whereas Chalav is already Asur, inherently Asur, and does not require the Bishul to create the Isur. And so therefore, in this case, Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, everybody agrees, or is Doresh, aim the Mikra, because that's the only plausible or logical explanation to the Pasuk. Chalev would not make sense in that case. But otherwise, there are dissenters in all these situations. Not everybody's Doresh aim the Mikra. And that's irrespective of whether there is a difference in the length of the word between the Kri and the Mesoret. Or if there's no difference in the size of the words, there are those opinions that believe we follow aim the Mesoret. And there are those opinions that say we follow aim the Mikra. And that led to many of the Machlokot that we saw before between the five Tanaim that we started out the daf with, and their Baal Plutot. Okay, we're going to stop here on the last line of Dalet Amud Bet.